May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yeah. You know, there's a place like in 1 Thessalonians 5 where Jesus said, by the Holy Spirit, says through Paul, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, above all, always give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God and Father. And so twice he talks about thanksgiving, and he uses the word always, and then he says it in everything. So I know that Jesus doesn't expect our spirituality to be better than his. It's always not just a reflection of his, it's a manifestation of his spirituality. And so the fact that he says to us to give thanks in all things, the fact that he says to us, number one, above all, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, here's class 101. Always give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I know that when he says those things, he's inviting us to join him in his attitude of gratitude and his thankful heart. But that tells me that if Jesus says that about us, then Jesus was always thankful. Jesus is always thankful. It doesn't mean that Jesus was giddy. It doesn't mean that things didn't happen that broke his heart, that grieved his heart. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7, that yet though he sorrowed, yet he was always rejoicing. That there can be sorrow and yet rejoicing at the same time. One of the things about this passage of scripture that Father Bracken just read again is remember that the word again, born again, actually when we read it next week, we'll make sure we read it, the word isn't a word again, it's the word above. Born above. Born from above. Born of heaven. Unless a person's born above, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He says, unless a person's born above, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about this yesterday. The word enter here is actually the words come into. And the language intimates the idea, as we said yesterday, that sometimes you'll say about a person, they have finally come into their potential or come into whatever. Doesn't mean that you've entered in a room for the first time. You've come into who you are, or whatever. That's the idea here, that you come into the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And because him saying, unless you're born from above, you can't see the kingdom of heaven, coming into the kingdom, coming actually, that becoming part of your reality, you're coming into maturity or whatever, and that is being able to see the kingdom. And so you have to remember that Jesus was always seeing the kingdom of God. He's one of the ones, after John the Baptist had announced, part of his ministry. He says, he would say, repent, change your mind, is the word. Come to think with God for the good news. Believe, he said, repent and believe the good news. Repent doesn't, he wasn't saying quit sinning. He was saying the word repent means to think with. Think with what's happening. Think with God and believe the good news. And here it is, the kingdom of heaven is here. So when we talk about kingdom, what we're talking about is the reign of God in Christ. King Jesus. Jesus was both priest and king. And so he's talking about the reign of heaven and Jesus as king, now walking that out, manifesting that. So that's why all the time Jesus said he only did those things he saw the Father doing. He only said those things he heard the Father saying. So when Jesus saw a person who was blind, he didn't just see a blind person. He was also seeing the kingdom and what was God doing. What was the reign of God looking like? What was the realm of God's reign that this man would be healed? Jesus didn't just see the activity of the enemy or the activity of the fall. He saw the redemptive power of Jesus, so of God working at work. And so when Nicodemus says to him, at night when he comes to him and says to him, we, us Jews, we know that you've come from God. Again, he hadn't said yet you're the Messiah, but Nicodemus did come to own that reality. He said, what we do know is that you've come from God. You've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God's with them. And so the thing that fascinates me is that when Jesus' response to him seems to be, well, what response is that to what you're saying? And Jesus is saying this. He said, as a prototype of the new creation, Though God very God, having laid down my right to act out of my deity, I've come here as second Adam, second man, second human, to get it right. And I've come, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was doing the things he did as a man, the Son of Man, that God was with him. And Jesus was then answering and saying, here's my answer to you when you say, all I know is that you've come from God because nobody could do these things unless God was with him. And then Jesus says, well, geez, God wants to be with all of us. God wants us all to come from him. God wants you to be born from heaven. Jesus came from heaven. God wants us to be born above. And he says it twice. And then he ends up this statement by saying, here's the deal. Like the wind, when the wind blows, you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. It's the same way for those who are born from above. They're filled with the life of heaven. Their DNA is now heavenly. He says, you're born of the Spirit. You're born above. You have a new DNA. You still have this flesh, but now there's a new DNA. You operate by a new DNA, heaven's DNA. For us, the DNA of Christ, the nature of Christ. And therefore, it should be obvious and evident to the people around us that God is with us. Amen. This is the only explanation for how we live, how we respond. And yet, many Christians still live like the people who are lost. You know, the little thing I used to say that Christians are kind of like when in trouble or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Because that's what the world does. And yet, Christians do the same thing. But Jesus was saying this. He's saying, what you see happening in my life is because I operate as a man, though filled with the life of God by the Spirit. That's my DNA as the Son of Man. I could act out of my deity, but I chose not to. I've chosen not to. I'm living as a Spirit-filled man, and so my DNA is heavenly. My DNA is of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I see the kingdom. I'm always seeing the reign of the kingdom, not the reign of the enemy. And so he says to us, once you're born from above, you now have eyes to see with the eyes of a dove, the Holy Spirit, to see reality from heaven's perspective, to see reality from the reign of Christ, to believe that Jesus is reigning, not the enemy, not the world, not some politician, not some political party, but he's reigning. You with me? And again, for those who are CTKers, you'll hear this again a week from Sunday, an expanded version. If you're always seeing the reign, it's not that you don't see the other stuff, but the part that you see that's bigger is the reign of God. The reign for us is Christ. The reign of Christ, the kingdom, the realm of God, interposed over everything, superposed over everything. Then you can't help but be thankful. So you get stuck in traffic. And the flesh wants to get angry and frustrated. But if you're thankful, if you see the reign of Christ, you understand that he's reigning. This isn't just about traffic. It isn't about some knucklehead who pulled out in front of somebody and you're now going to be late. Your times are in his hands. He's reigning. You with me?
Yes.
And a person who sees that Christ is reigning in all things, even those things that don't seem to be going well, even seem to have their root in the enemy, God causes all things to get work together for good because he reigns. Right. Then you're thankful in all things. Amen. One of the great characteristics of a person who's truly walking in the Spirit, who's manifesting Christ-likeness, is a thankful heart in every single situation. Everyone. It's the first step of a life of faith. If your first response to every situation isn't to God with thankfulness, because you see the reign of Christ here, you may not understand it. You may not understand how it's all going to turn out. But that's what you see. And you can, because you have the DNA to see that. You're heavenly, so you better see heaven. Open your eyes and see the reign, the realm of heaven. When you see that, then your response, your first response of childlike faith is thankfulness to God. You're not even having to thank him for the situation. You're thanking him that he reigns. And then you can hear him how to step into the situation and be the body of Christ and allow him to do something with it. How to speak into it, how to change it, how to transform it. How to transform a person's thinking about it, okay?
Yeah.
There's so much more there, but I think you get the gist. Okay, so today's my physical therapy day. That's like going to Frankenstein's home and being tortured. But Jesus reigns.
Amen.
So I know it's His will, so I'm very, so I can tease about it, but I'm actually thankful for it. Why? Because it's fun? No. Because it's, He reigns, and this is His will for me. That's just a silly example. What is it that you're going to get frustrated with this afternoon or angry about? Is your response going to first be to the person or to the situation? Or is it going to be that you see the reign? Mm. If you've been born from above, you can see the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.